mean?
Oh yeah, no, she was totally sick. Meanwhile, her entire skull was fractured. And it's like, yes, exploding skull syndrome.
Yeah, but do you think
Yeah, nope.
this is gonna change Iran? Do you think it's gonna, they're talking about regime change already, and who's gonna come next? The leader
Well,
might step down. That's what everybody on the cable news is saying.
unfortunately, in places like that, unless somebody's head comes out on a pike,
Right.
the issue is that, especially with authoritarian regimes, the army's answer to the leader of that authoritarian regime. And so
Right.
if that
Directly.
and unless the and unless the army says, nah, we're done with this.
Right.
And then unfortunately, what you typically end up with more often than not is a military junta, because then the military seizes power because they have the guns and the weapons.
Right.
It is time now for something positive.
We might be headed to the promised land, the
of
promised
speaking
land,
the truth
the promised land,
and finding our external liberty once we internally liberate ourselves.
The problem can only be solved when there is a kind of coalition of conscience. Of conscience.
Because that is how it works.
This is the beginning, it is not the finale, and that's why we're here, and that's why we rally, 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 rally.
We've got to be that creative minority. Creative minority. Creative minority.
Find a way to get in the way. I got in trouble. It was good trouble. It was necessary trouble.
Franklin, I know we've got to do something.
Hey Jeffrey, what's up? How are you doing?
Oh wow. What a time, what a time, what a time.
Yeah, I like Karen, and I've been under the weather for a while, so it was like I didn't know if I was ready for that positivity that she brings to the table, but it turns out that's exactly what I need. Her voice sounds like a smile to me, you know what
It
I
really
mean?
does. It really
Yeah.
does.
And she's always so very optimistic about life, and we need more optimism in this world.
It's true. There's plenty of things going on hitting the world today that just whoo-wee.
Yeah. And I didn't make a note because honestly, I thought most of it was going to be the Donald Trump stuff. You know what I mean? He's got like 18 cases going on. And I thought we could cover that.
Oh
And
boy.
but then what happened in Iran with this girl that died with, oh,
And then
so.
you've got and then you've got the mass mobilization in Russia. Let's just pick a
Yeah.
starting point. Let's go
Oh,
with.
and North Korea acknowledging that they're now a nuclear state and they have the
Oh
right
yeah.
to preemptively defend themselves. Yeah, China and Taiwan. I don't
Everybody
know what's.
needs to smoke a joint and chill the fuck out, is
I
basically what it boils down
agree.
to.
Go bake a pie, because when you're done, you'll have pie.
Problem is that they want to glass the planet, and I'm like, look, we're not going to bake it that hard.
Yeah, no.
So where do we start? Let's start with the Donald Trump cases, just because local,
Sure.
might as well dig into that. So that's a fun one.
Yeah.
I say that a lot these days because it turns out we're having a lot of fun, and by that I mean we're not.
Does Donald Trump have Elon Musk's neural net in his head to where he can just think things unclassified?
And watching a ju watching the special master that got appointed go, that's not how that works.
Right.
It's one of those things where it's like, it's
I think
just
Donald
because
Trump
you
has
want
always been.
something unclassified doesn't mean that you're going to get it unclassified
And
or
even if you get it
declassified.
unclassified, doesn't mean it's yours. It just means you have the right to look at it.
Right. And you're declassifying it for the public to be able to look at.
Yeah.
And that's one of those things where as a taxpayer, I do believe that I have a right to see any number of different documents. I really do. But at the same time, I also have an understanding that, there are certain things that we're doing in order to hedge the safety of the country.
Right.
And that the fewer people that know about something, the better.
Yeah, I don't want to know that spy's name, and no offense, I don't want Adam to know the spy's name. Like, I don't trust everybody in America. So
Right.
If I can't see it to keep other people from seeing it, I'm okay with that. I just think Donald Trump is this major magician where he's like, look over here, I'm doing this. And people forget the thread, but these judges, they're not losing the thread on this.
No. And that's just it, is that he also said that the FBI planted a bunch of stuff, and the special right. master went, all right, what got planted? And he hasn't been able to provide a list of what's been planted.
Right. Something was planted.
Because nothing was actually planted. You know, I call it, you know, we've talked about this before, the Sagan standard. That which can be claimed without evidence can be easily dismissed without such.
Right.
It's like, yes. You know, you can sit down and say, oh, the FBI planted stuff. It's like, there, here's the list of documents. What was planted?
Yeah, we know what you had. What came back to the FBI? That's
fine. And so you know, and that's the thing, is that if the FBI actually did plant something, I mean, hey, let's have that conversation. But the reality is that in a case like this, the answer is, I'm going to go 99.99999%. No, that didn't happen.
Yeah, it's usually the laziest thing that's right. Like, people aren't working to take down Trump. You know what I mean? People aren't working to take down Trump. They're just giving him enough rope to hang himself. And then when he finally does, he complains that it's political. No, it's just the rope.
Yeah. And oftentimes, too, it's like the kind of crookedness that you're seeing. Usually you find that more like a petty crimes level than you do at, you know, say a massive federal level.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, sure. Have cops planted evidence on somebody who had no evidence? Yeah, sure. But nobody is going in there saying that the FBI planted 15 boxes after you'd already turned over 12.
Right.
You know, it's kind of like we talked about. It's like, you know, weed's illegal. You're out dealing weed and the cop thinks that you probably are dealing other things. And it's like, hey, let me buy a little weed off you. Mm-hmm. And you hand over the weed because it's, you know, you don't think of it as it's that bad. But what you've done is given an agency probable cause to investigate you. And now they're going to be looking for the worst of the worst stuff that they can actually find on you. And as you know, like I said, the last time we talked about this, it's exactly what Trump did, is he handed over the stuff that he didn't think was that bad. But he gave probable cause to believe that there was a bunch of other shit that he had, too.
That's what you were saying. If he had one document and they said, you have the document, and he said, yes, here it is, that was already a crime because he took it. Now, saying, no, I don't have the document is obstruction. That's two crimes. And yes, it gives him probable cause. Now, there was more than one document. There was at least 100, like, top secret classified, and then a whole mess of stuff after that. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, he did something wrong, and I've always wondered why he didn't just go, oh, shit, I didn't know, I'm stupid, here, you know? Why not play it off as stupid, humble, like, regretful? He can't even pretend to be any of those things for his own sake.
That's, you know, and that's the thing is that, you know, you get all these conflicting reports, you know, with the FBI raid, Trump calls and says, hey, what can I do to turn down the heat and the pressure? Yeah, and then goes and starts screaming about how the FBI is nothing but a political witch hunt. And, you know, it's like, bullshit. You know, I don't know what you think you're doing. You know, you've gone from back the blue and all of this other bullshit to, you know, the FBI is now just a political organization and people follow that shit hook, line, and sinker.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, hey, welcome to, you know, my level of I don't trust the government. There's a few things that you should probably know. It's like, look, I don't necessarily have a whole lot of trust in the government to begin with, but that's not because I think they're, you know, in favor of one political group or another. I think that just in general, the government has far too much power that it shouldn't have. But that said, you know, what is it in the, what was it? It was in Liar Liar when Jim Carrey has a quote unquote client on the phone who he constantly is having to represent in court. And the guy's like, hey, something just happened. Well, we need your advice. And because he can't lie anymore and he has to tell the truth, he just screams in the phone, stop breaking the law.
Yeah. The goddamn pen is blue is all I keep thinking.
Yeah. And that's just it, is that, you know, you can sit down and say that, you know, you can sit down and scream law and order all you want, but if you don't actually follow the law and you don't do things in the order in which, you know, the public has dictated through legislation, you can say law and order all you want, but your actions show that you have zero regard for that statement whatsoever, and you only believe in it when it serves your interest, and that's bullshit.
Right. Saying law and order is a way to get the most qualified insurgents on your side, right? The people that are trained and own guns.
So yeah. it's a real shit show. And then on top of that, you look at, you know, there's always been the question of, is Donald Trump as rich as he claims to be? And now you have this civil suit out of the state of New York, in which they allege that there are 200 incidents of overvaluation of property in order to get significant loans, and also I believe pay less in taxes to the state of New York based on a couple of
right. He'll say his apartment is 30 square feet and 300 square feet and 378 million dollars, and then he can get a loan because he owns something that expensive. But then he can also say, no, it's only 1100 square feet, when somebody wants him to pay taxes on that. And we all know what a property tax is. If you improve your home, they're going to charge you more once they find out, and if your home isn't valued as much, you're not going to have to pay as much in property taxes. That one was obvious. The Mar-a-Lago one was funny to me. He bought it at $5 million. It's valued at $7 million because of all the conditions that he can't build new houses on it. But when he went to go get it appraised, when he went to go get a loan on it, he valued it at $77 million, which was the price of it built out. And he's not allowed to do that. There's restrictions on it. He could have just gotten that $2 million increase because he improved it and been happy, but he had to go for the full $77 million. You know what I mean? Who's loaning this guy money and not paying attention to what he's saying?
Well, you know, Deutsche Bank is one of them, turns out.
Yeah, but do they have a responsibility to be like called bullshit?
Well, you know, that's going to be one of the fun ones. Is yeah. You're going to find out real quickly. I was reading yesterday that let's see here. So there was a company that was looking at investing / buying Truth Mobile, Truth online, and after all of the stuff that's happened, the investors of the company have pulled $140 million out of that company.
Wow.
Real quickly.
Is that because of liability?
Well, basically that, you know, they see that they're about to lose money on a particular venture. And so the free market is saying, no, I'm pulling my money out of this before I lose a bunch of money on it.
Gotcha.
So.
Okay. So Truth Social is about to go down?
Maybe. I don't know.
I don't know much about it. I know Donald Trump has 4 million subscribers. And that's pretty big. 13 million overall people believe in insurrection. So he has a big army. It's not the size of America, but it's a pretty big army.
I personally don't believe in signing up for a website that's going to be an easy FBI watch list.
Yeah, no. Not to mention giving your personal information to Donald Trump in any way. Just wait, does he own it? Or did he just have, is he on somebody else's shit?
I don't know.
I'm not giving him any information at all.
Right. And on top of that, I mean, realistically, it's like, I don't even necessarily like the social media platforms that I'm on.
Agreed.
So it's not even like I want to continue that.
Yeah. No, I totally understand that one. There was so 13 million people. This was originally Monday, one of my thoughts, is it seems like nothing. But then we wonder why Republicans are kind of steering to that. And then when I think about 13 million people as a percentage of 22%, it's a lot, you know? Mm-hmm. And so that's why they're paying attention to these insurrectionists so much, because while they're not a major political party, they are in the party, a major faction in the Republicans. Mm-hmm. So I just don't, I hate that they have to lie and bullshit. You know what I mean? And the Lindsey Graham and his abortion ban, I was telling my friend, why aren't Republicans mad that Lindsey Graham is allowing abortions up to 15 weeks when it's a sin to them, right? At any time.
Right.
So how do you split hairs on being pro-life? Either you're killing something or you're not. And so people shouldn't be happy with Republicans and their stance on trying to find common ground in abortion.
Exactly. And of course, then Lindsey Graham saying, you know, something to the effect that this isn't a states' rights issue.
Right.
And I was like, okay, this is, I need some popcorn for this one.
This is his plan was to address states like New York and Illinois and California that have, you know, the ability to have abortion when you need it. And by the way, we don't need to like rebuild the wheel here. There's like a plan, Roe v. Wade, right? Like 20 weeks. If somebody says 15 weeks, tell me why 15 weeks. Give me some scientific evidence to why 5 weeks sooner in this day and age works. If you get me on scientific stuff, I have nowhere to go. You know what I mean?
You know, and you look at the policies of quote unquote, you know, liberal Western countries, you know, most of them, you know, 12 to 14 weeks is as far out as they allow, you know, and we were at 20. Like that's the mm-hmm. crazy part is normally like when it comes to stuff like that, we're way behind the curve, but we were the leader of the curve for the longest time.
But how did we come up with 20?
That is always the grand question. I think what it boils down to is that scientifically we didn't know what we know now. And so you know, it used to be that they believed that, you know, fetuses didn't feel pain at all. So they thought, you know, at that point, hey, I think 28 was the longest. 28 weeks was as far out as you could go. And I believe it was based on viability. Could the fetus survive outside of the womb at that point?
And we know that's changed, right?
There's things that have changed, but you know, you still run into a significant number of questions, you know, like long-lasting developmental side effects.
Agreed, but that's not really the issue. The issue is just straight life or death. Can a fetus 3 weeks be turned into a grown adult? Like, we can have these conversations that might change the time frame, but you know, like, Republicans don't care. They don't care if your child is suffering from a cerebral hemorrhage and is dead in the womb. They still think you should give birth to that. You know?
And that's wild to me because, like, you know, especially like having had family that, you know, ended up having a stillbirth.
Right.
Like, that's not a great day.
No. If you've ever been constipated, imagine that times 2 million. You know what I mean?
So, I mean, the political shit show continues, and I think that's, you know, unfortunate that we're going to still be dealing with the fact that people are arguing about whether or not, you know, whether or not it should be allowed, number one, like it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
That they think that the simple act of criminalizing it is going to, you know, change that metric, and it's not. And especially when you have states that allow for it already. And so basically you're just going to create, you know, like our conversation with Marco from AudioPound, where I said that you're going to essentially have abortion underground railroads.
Right. And we do. We actually do.
And that's the thing where it's like, was I wrong?
No, there's advocates that are busing people all over the country right now because of that.
Yep. And so, unfortunately, I kind of believed that was what was going to happen because, you know, my concern is going to be now, my concern is going to be that at some point, in order to counter that, you're going to have states that, you know, pass laws on interstate travel, which they're not supposed to.
Mm-hmm. Florida's trying. Or they tried in Congress, actually, a federal ban.
And so what's going to end up happening is that you're going to have a state that, you know, is going to basically say, you know, Dina Pascal Bitta. And, you know, that's how this is going to go is that, you know, you're going to have to present yourself, you know, and why you're leaving, you know, and all this other bullshit, the state, and going to a state where abortion is legal.
Yeah.
So,
but what I did hear There was an executive, and I will remember the name of his company. It's the biggest tech company in America, and they were talking to him about it, and he thought it was a corporate responsibility, and he offered relocation to any employees that were in a state that didn't offer abortion if they wanted to. And he said he pulled out of Texas because he couldn't support a state that did that. And I can't remember what it was, some employer app or something. But I think corporations have a great ability and responsibility to offer that to people, you know, because tax revenue is what a state lives on, that and federal money back to them, you know. And so if a state has more tax money, they can do more of these things. But if you drain them, starve them of the blood that it takes to keep them going by moving companies out of there, then a state will slowly die, like Illinois did when they tried bankrupting it, you know.
It's really going to be an unfortunate, you know, long process before this gets rectified.
Yeah. And it was fixed. It was fine. Like, if you didn't want abortion, you could just turn your back, right? It's not like people were having abortion parties.
You know, and that's the thing is that the places that, you know, have outlawed abortion are also the places that criminally underfund things like child protective services, things like, you know, your foster care system, things like adoption. Like, it's criminally underfunded. And so now what I fully expect is that with, in the wake of these decisions and laws that are passed in these states, you're going to see a sharp rise in kids entering the foster care system, and you're going to see a sharp rise in I would say most likely abuse cases and the related, because of the lack of resources that are already allocated in these states.
I agree. There's no other way for it to go.
So then, and in order for the states to make up for that, they're going to have to raise taxes in order to pay for that system.
Or dole it off onto Catholic Charities and other abusive systems. You know what I mean? Wait, I didn't say that Catholic Charities is abusive. I've just said that they're, there's a pattern of practice in the past.
So sorry. there's going to be a reckoning there of
What do we do with all the babies, right?
You know, and well, Texas is going to have to come up with, you know, their own messaging on how it's your American responsibility to adopt these kids, and people are going to be like, "Me and what money?"
Right, Russia's going to be taking them so that they can have untrained soldiers to fight Ukraine. Who else is going to take these kids? Sorry, that was called a segue, everybody.
Oh my god. That's a royal shit show and a half there. Because, for example, you know, in Crimea, so like, for example, with all the mobilization paperwork in Crimea, 80% of the mobilization paperwork went to Crimean Tartars.
What's that?
I believe they're a Muslim group.
Okay.
So they've been drafted into the, you know, they're not drafting the Russians into the fucking army. They're drafting the ethnicities in.
Conscripts. People that were protesting the war, they were saying the men that were protesting the war, they put in uniforms and sent them to Ukraine.
Which, you know, to me, I'm like, you know what? This is a hilarious idea. It's like, if you retreat, you're going to get shot.
Yeah.
But you could always just be like, all right, cool, I'll get the training from the Russian military, then go join the Ukrainian army and just be like, all right, hey, yo.
Yeah.
I don't want to fight for the Russians. I'm going to come over and help.
That's what Zelensky just did. I thought it was brilliant. He offered sanctuary for any Russian soldier that was willing to put down their weapon and walk over to Ukraine. That's smart, because they are running as fast as they can away from this war. Like 8,000 people have already defected to Finland.
You know, and that's just it. The reason why America doesn't have a draft anymore is because it's about the quality of the troop that you got.
Right.
And the thing is that the cause is really, you know, when there's a valuable cause, people join.
Right.
So, like, for example, in the World War II era, you know, yeah, you had people get drafted simply because the volume of the fight was that we were going to have, you know, you needed a bunch of conscripts. You really did.
Plus that was pre learning the lesson, you know,
but you also had a bunch of people that, you know, didn't have the same willingness to fight,
right,
you know, as the people who volunteered. And so the quality of soldier you got out of that was much worse. And Vietnam was the height of that lesson for us, where, you know, the quality of soldiers that we got thanks to the draft, you know, was not great, but the quality of the recruits that we got because they saw the cause as valuable was fantastic.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we kind of learned our lessons. Like, do we still have the ability to draft soldiers? Yes, we do. Do we want to use that? No, we really don't, because
we pay them.
because you're not going to get the same quality of soldier that you fully expect, you know, right. And now for me, like, for example, you know, I'm just outside of the draft age period because I believe it's 18 to 35.
Wow.
If I remember correctly. So, you know, number one, I would have never passed the physical anyways. So
I didn't, that. I didn't pass it three times.
I didn't pass it, you know, when I was a kid, and this was back when I was, you know, playing basketball six quarters a night and, you know, practice for 2.5-3 hours every day. And, you know, I was in much better shape than I am now.
Yeah. No, I didn't graduate high school by then. 18, they wanted me to sign up for the draft, and they were like, did you graduate high school? And I was like, not yet. And they were like, all right, we don't want you then. And I was like, all right, thanks.
See, and for us, like, we had to sign up while we were in high school, so.
Yeah, that was my point. I had to sign up for the draft, but they didn't accept me. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And they would have, if there was a war going on, suddenly the kid that wore glasses was going to go to the war. You know what I mean?
You know, and so now that, you know, Russia, you know, quote unquote, you know, has thrown some of their best at Ukraine, and, you know, the losses that they have seen have been significant.
Yeah.
They're now going to conscript a bunch of people who don't want to fight. That's a terrible recipe is what that is.
Yeah.
Like, that's a terrible decision.
Aren't you just going to end up bolstering the Ukrainian army? I think
more than they already have.
Right.
It's like the Ukrainians are like, oh, cool, tank parts. Oh, cool, whole tanks.
Huzzah. I was watching this thing on, it's called Great. It's a Hulu original. And it was about Peter the Great's son and Catherine the Great's husband, you know? Mm-hmm. And they were throwing troops at Sweden. They were just throwing troops at Sweden. And I remember Enemy at the Gate during World War II. They were just throwing troops at the problem. And it's a lot like Ukraine. They're just throwing bodies at the problem. They're not actually going to solve, they're not going to win anything that way.
I mean,
you know what I mean?
You know, here was the issue. Like, the reason why you had such a higher, you know, willingness to throw bodies at the problem and have bodies to throw at the problem is, number one, you had a much stronger dictator in Stalin. And number two, you had an existential threat that was Nazi Germany. You know, because the issue wasn't that, you know, the Germans, you know, wanted to just like depose, you know, the Soviet leadership. They wanted to wipe out the Russians because they saw them as subhuman.
Wow. Yeah, we forget about how many of them were in concentration camps too. And the only thing that stopped the Germans was oil, right? Like, their oil froze up. They could have taken that.
What stopped the Germans was fucking stupid decision making on the part of leaders that were not military geniuses.
Yeah.
And that's the thing Agreed. About every great authoritarian is that they think I alone can fix this, and they stop listening to their generals. And so they start replacing good generals, you know, and they might have some good generals in reserve or some good leadership in reserve. But eventually you get to the point where you're just replacing bodies, and the people that you're replacing them with are not tacticians at all. Yeah. They are ass kissers at best, and maybe they can tactically kiss an ass, but, you know, they're just not the kind of people that you need to run a strong military operation. And even if you have the best leaders, if you don't have a troop with the morale to fight, the willingness to fight, Then all you're doing is you're not even wasting ammo on the enemy. You're wasting ammo on your own people. And so that's like a whole nother issue in and of itself. And so,
yeah,
it's, you know, you don't have a good fight to fight in that case. And, you know, unfortunately, it's going to be down to those people to be like, you know what? Nope, I'm fighting against our regime. Fuck this.
Yeah.
It's like, don't take people who are not willing to fight for you and hand them a gun. That's a terrible decision.
It's a terrible idea, which is why he didn't do it in the first 200 days, is because he was worried that if he gave weapons to the general public, they would use them against him.
Now what's going to happen is that he's going to get a bunch of people that don't want to fight,
yeah,
give them weapons, and I just don't see how this doesn't end with, you know, leadership getting fucking fragged and shot.
Right.
Because by their own troops.
The only people left behind in the country are people that know they're the next wave, or the people that gave birth to those people, or are families of those people. Mm-hmm. You know, and you can't, I don't know. Like, I don't see a serious victory here for Vladimir Putin.
It's a terrible decision. And of course, you know, now it's back to threaten to use nuclear weapons. And it's like,
yeah.
I just don't see this going well. I really don't. What I do think is going to happen is that you're going to have a high number of incidents of, you know, people who are like, well, I'm going to die if I retreat, so fuck it. 10 years in prison, you know, is or taking out these assholes is going to be a far better option than, you know, what I'm facing if I run out onto that battlefield.
Yeah, I'd rather go to prison. Yeah. I'd rather go to Finland.
You know, so it's, you know, Russia is going to continue to do the real dumb thing. And I applaud them for it, because oftentimes the, you know, when a country falls, it's because they stop doing things that, you know, make sense.
Yeah.
So kudos to the Russian government on doing things that don't make a damn bit of sense.
Yeah. Keep being stupid. We love it. It just wears them down. See, and this isn't making Russia stronger, right? We were talking about that in the first episode, and I never got to make that point. What doesn't kill you wears you to a nub.
In this case, it's going to be a bloody fucking stump.
Yeah. I mean, even Israel is willing to take Russian immigrants in now. They're going anywhere that doesn't require a visa. And
Mongolia put out the offer, I think, for Tuvans and Kalmyks and one other group, saying, hey, come to Mongolia. You know, you're native here. We'll accept you with open arms, so that way you don't have to fight in Russia's pointless war.
I love that. But Estonia is saying, no, you can't come here. Like, stay there, you know?
And that's the biggest problem is that, you know, because you have such harsh sanctions on the Russian people as well, like, they become charges of the state of Estonia, and that's a difficult position to be put in. I understand it, but I don't necessarily agree or disagree. I can see both sides of how this is, you know, a good thing and a bad thing. It's like we've talked about, you can't accept a whole bunch of people, but expect that the status quo changes if you don't give them the tools to go back and change their own country. And you know, in this case, it's like, look, you guys got to figure out your fucking problem with your leadership. You know, coming here is not going to fix that.
That's right. But it's amazing that whether they're a white Russian or a black Haitian or a brown Syrian, an immigrant is a tax on resources until they have enough to not be. You know, it doesn't matter, black, white, or brown. A refugee is a refugee, you know?
Exactly. And so, you know, this is where, like, this is one of those situations where I firmly believe there are no good answers.
Right. Well,
like, there are human answers of, you know, compassion for people escaping what I would consider, you know, a politically oppressive regime.
Heck yeah. I think they should be allowed out, you know?
And at the same time, I can understand the position of, it's like, we don't have the resources to support a bunch of people that have literally been stuck under an oppressive regime and have nothing to their name. I can understand that too.
Yeah. I mean, North Moldova doesn't have the resources to take on, you know, thousands of migrants or refugees. So,
Yeah, you know, and so it's
why are
it's
they why are they refugees over there but immigrants here? I think I'm just putting that together.
Well, and there's the question, you know. At least, well, that's the problem is that, you know, I think the issue is more of political versus economic. You know, in this case, you know. With the Russians, you know, you have what is widely a political refugee. You know, you've got an autocrat who is literally willing to throw lives away for, you know, a dick measuring contest because he thinks he's got the biggest pee-pee.
He does not.
You know, and in this case, it's like, you know, people are not willing to die for his war, and that's fully acceptable. Like, I think that's a very... But at the same time, when you have people that are, you know, trying to immigrate because, you know, they believe that there are better jobs and better opportunities, that's a tough position because, yeah, that's definitely the case. But at the same time, it's like, you know, what sort of ability do you have to absorb that? And every country has a different ability to absorb it. And for all we know, Estonia could have zero capability to absorb anything more than they already have.
That's right.
That's an entire possibility and something that you have to keep an open mind about. It's not an easy answer, no matter what you do.
And that Estonia has to remember that when all of this is said and done, they still have to work with Russia because they're not a major country. There's somebody in that region that needs that. They're not going to get United States to be helping them as much as Russia would.
And well, and that's the thing is that, you know, they've cut off damn near everything that has to do with Russia. They have, and of course, you know, they've got issues with Belarus as well, you know, because Belarus has done this whole, we're going to be, one greater Russia. And, you know, you've got people from Belarus going, yeah, that does not sound enjoyable. It's already bad here under you. Now we're going to be under Putin too. That sounds terrible.
That just goes to my theory that anybody of communism that goes into any sort of socialist or democratic state prefers it.
So it's an absolute mess in terms of what they're going to be dealing with.
Nobody's picking communism except the MAGA movement that wants communism here. Well, I don't understand. Why not go over to Russia, get consigned into the war, and fight?
That's the thing is, it's actually fascism is what it is. It's not communism.
Okay.
Like, you know, they're, you know, with what Russia has is a hard right compared to a hard left.
Gotcha.
You know, if you look up, you know, let me grab the definition of fascism here because I think that's really the important thing.
Yeah, because there's nationalist and then there's fascist and then there's communist. And they're all variations of socialism. Yeah,
so fascists advocate for the establishment of a totalitarian one-party state.
Right.
And for a dirigist economy with the principal goal of achieving autarky, a national economic self-sufficiency through protectionist and economic interventionist policies.
Yes.
So essentially what you're looking for, characterized by a dictatorial leader, they're far right, authoritarian, ultra-nationalist in political ideology. So dictatorial leader, centralized autocracy, militarism, forcible suppression of opposition, belief in a natural social hierarchy, subordination of individual interests for the perceived good of a nation or race, and a strong regimentation of society and the economy. Right. All things that Russia is doing. Basically, Russia claimed that they were going into Ukraine to fight fascism.
Yeah.
But they've been establishing fascism in Russia.
Right, they're becoming fascists.
I would say that they've gone beyond become fascists. They are. Like every person that seems to fall victim to Russian gravity sickness, their company ends up being absorbed by the Russian state.
Agreed.
So right. I don't think that they're becoming fascist. I think that they actually are fascist.
Well, I think like Hitler in Germany or North Korea, the main economy is built on a military buildup. You know what I mean? Like the militarism main focus of it.
Well, but that's a hallmark of any authoritarian government.
Right.
That's the thing. Right. It's just that, you know, you had, you know, with communism, it was, you know, the greatest distinction between, you know, communism and fascism was that, you know, the people, quote unquote, owned the collective resources, the
production, right?
Whereas in fascism, it's the state that owns it, and Putin has been consolidating all of that underneath of him. You know, he had the oligarchs that literally when Putin said jump, they said how high, and now right. when Putin says jump, they say what, I don't want to, and then they go flying out a window.
right.
Yeah, I'm beginning to think that, you know, windows in Russia are not made very well. Yeah. Since there seem to be a lot of people that have freak window accidents.
So then what's the difference between fascism and, I don't know, socialism? Socialism is the government-controlled means of production, and fascism is an authoritarian-controlled means of production.
The step in difference between socialism and communism is very, very small.
Right. I mean, wasn't it Marx that said everything leads to socialism?
Mm-hmm.
Communism is that step before socialism.
So in theory, the only difference between socialism and communism is that the people have more say in terms of what the socialist values are, whereas under communism, the party decides what the values are.
Gotcha.
But the thing is that it's not a far step. If you look at like a political heat map, mm-hmm. socialism and communism really aren't that far apart.
Right. Okay. The difference is the color of your uniform.
And barely.
Barely. Yeah.
Okay. Whereas fascism and communism share a lot of the same aspects, but it's just that, you know, one's hard right, the other one's hard left.
Mm. Okay. Antifa's about to get charged with crimes because people actually put on Antifa marked clothes and committed crimes. So I always said that Antifa didn't exist, but some dumbasses decided to make a patch and get charged with conspiracy. So huzzah.
Like, well, good job, Antifa, I guess.
Right. You, there was a bullseye on nothing, and then you had to go and walk into the bullseye.
You know what I mean? You literally had to draw the fucking target on your back.
Right. You could have called yourself Antifa, and it wouldn't have gotten as much as Antifa. So, I don't know. I just think it's kind of stupid to mark yourself that way, and I felt that way about MAGA, and I feel that way about Antifa. I'm not fascist. Mm-hmm. I don't like fascists. I'm anti-fascist, but I'm not going to go put a patch on and attack people before I'm attacked. You know what I mean?
And that's exactly it. It's like, you know, I will defend myself, but I ain't going out there looking for a fucking fight. That's pointless.
I know, right? So this girl that wore her hijab the wrong way. Was she looking for a problem? She wasn't from the city. She was from the country coming in to visit people. And they pulled her on a bus and beat her to death and then said, oh, she had a heart attack.
Yeah, right before her 23rd birthday.
Mm-hmm. I don't mean to laugh. It's ridiculous that the lie is that obvious. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. No, she was totally sick. Meanwhile, her entire skull was fractured. And it's like, yes, you know, exploding skull syndrome.
Yeah, but do you think this is gonna change Iran? Do you think it's gonna? They're talking about regime change already, and who's gonna come next? The leader might step down. That's what everybody on the cable news is saying.
Unfortunately, in places like that, unless somebody's head comes out on a pike,
right?
You know, the issue is that, especially with authoritarian regimes, the army's answer to the leader of that authoritarian regime. And right. So if that
directly.
unless the army says, nah, we're done with this.
Right.
And then unfortunately what you typically end up with more often than not is a military junta, because then the military seizes power because they have the guns and the weapons.
Right.
It's like, this is where, we constantly get a lot of shit for our culture.
Uh-huh.
But the reality is that it takes one authoritarian leader to consolidate army power underneath of him.
Uh-huh.
And if that leader happens to fall, then the military tends to take over. And you see that time and again in every country. You've got Myanmar, you've got places in South America, you've got places in Central America, you've got places in Africa that are run by military juntas. And
yep.
And that's the whole issue of the whole power vacuum is that once leadership falls, if you have a culture in which only the army is allowed to possess weapons,
mm-hmm.
there is no response back against them.
Wow. And so we are, that's why we have guns, right? Is because we don't want a military junta.
Want a military junta. We don't want a dictatorship, you know, and also too, we also have it written that in our constitution that sometimes a violent overthrow of the government is necessary when it becomes more powerful than it ever should be.
Mm, I think it's more powerful than it ever should be. Are we advocating here?
I'm not personally because, because number one, the number of people who own guns in their political ideology match way too far with the far right. Mm. And I certainly don't want to be underneath their rule where they think that, Jewish space lasers exist. That is a bridge too far for me.
Yeah, I got you. I think they're just far off the map. But I think all of this, I think racists need a forum to discuss their racism so that they can be proven wrong. So,
well, that's the problem is that, like any other discussion that's based on things that are illogical and don't make sense, you can have that forum and you can create that space, but if you're not willing to engage in thoughtful dialogue and actual discussion, then all it turns into is just, I'm going to deny your opinion because mine is superior and you're not having a discussion. That's why oftentimes, like if I'm trying to have a scientific discussion and somebody goes, well, in the Bible, I go, okay, this conversation's over because you're not here to listen to science. You're not, I know the Bible inside and out. I grew up in Catholic, I grew up in the Catholic Church. I've had to read the damn book, several times front to back.
I'm sorry.
It is, for me, it's like, I can engage in the discussion of religion. That's not an issue for me. But when you seek to deny evidence on specific things simply because you're going to now take a pineapple and compare it to an actual apple, we're not having a discussion. You're just looking to disprove me and you're not going to use any sort of logical or reasonable discussion and debate techniques.
Yeah.
And so it's not worth it for me to engage in a conversation like that because, you're not interested in learning or you're not interested in the, what if my opinion is wrong? You're only interested in the, what if I am right? And, the glorious thing about science is that it's like, what we will say is that based on the evidence, what we see is that, and that if we have more evidence, that is going to potentially change. The thing about science is that it's adaptable because we get better tools. We get better data. We get better techniques. And that process, the process of science, has not changed in 2000 years.
Right.
But with all of those tools, we are now able to really dig into certain things.
Agreed. Yeah. And we just sent three dummies around the moon. I think that's so cool.
And realistically, if all you want to do is talk about what a book says, it's like, that's great. We can talk about what a book says, but that's not science. And that's not a conversation that I'm going to have. It's like, I'll talk religion if we're going to talk religion, but if we're going to talk science, we're not talking religion.
Yeah. If we're going to talk politics, I don't want to talk religion. 61% of Republicans feel that we should make the United States a Christian nation. When that scares me.
When we have freedom of religion as the First Amendment?
Yeah.
Oh, funny.
So I don't want to talk. They're calling Trump God. They're calling him Orange Jesus. They're calling him Emperor. And I just don't think that kind of language fits into politics.
Well, and especially when you have him releasing an image of him being second only to Jesus. And I'm going,
yeah,
that's not good. It's like, yeah, for my religious friends out there, look up what idolatry is.
Yes, please.
And
it's one of the major sins, right? It came down off the mountain with Moses.
And I need you to really think about what you're doing, because what you're doing is idolatry.
Yeah.
Right. That's not a good thing.
I will not worship anyone but God. Any other false idols, right?
Right. And you know, false prophets. You know, this dude has no bearings in the fucking Bible whatsoever.
Agreed.
So at least every, you know, the book that I read, he does not represent any of the qualities of the Jesus that I read about. In fact, he represents more of the qualities of, I would say, the Whore of Babylon, but, you know, what do I know? I
know. He, honestly, dude, he's just a guy. Yep. What he's a guy that cheated on his wife and will not admit it. That's all he is. That's the only plan he uses. Deny, deny, deny. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's doing other things, but deny, deny, deny comes the whole way around for him. All right. And if he can get away with it, good for him. He's making money doing it. I don't think he's going to be able to do it forever.
No.
You know? So.
No.
And what? Oh, you don't need to use religion as a weapon. If it's a faith, it's a faith, it's a belief. But no religion do I know says suppress and injure other people by using this. No. You know? So.
And so the thing is, like, and that's the thing is, I know plenty of Christians out there who I would consider them solid Christians. They're the ones that try to do right, you know, by the good book. They're the ones that, you know, believe in helping the sick, the poor, the infirm. You know, they have their limitations, like any person does, you know, because they still also have to look out for themselves.
Agreed.
But they also don't, you know, they see what that bullshit is and they go, And that's the thing. It's like, they're the kind of people that, you know, they believe abortion is bad no matter what. Okay, I can understand and I can accept that, you know. Mm-hmm. They're the kind of people that, you know, believe that, you know, they need to pray before every meal, that, you know, they need to be in church every Sunday. Okay, I get it. That's great and wonderful. Devotion to a cause.
Yeah.
You know, I have disagreements with them on any number of different things, but most of them, there's a lot of them out there, and I would say most of them, I would consider good, rational people, you know, that happen to be guided more by, you know, the book than by, you know, say the things that I'm guided by, which is, you know, data and evidence. Mm-hmm. But I can't deny that, you know, ultimately they're trying to do good by the people that they're around. I can't deny that.
Yeah.
It's the, you know, like anything else, you know, it's the vocal far right and the vocal far left that has everybody thinking that, you know, this is what the majority of the party is, but it's the majority of the opinion that you see. And that's the difference.
That's right. They're just louder. They're not more.
Yep.
Okay.
You know, Dan Crenshaw actually, you know, he called people like Marjorie Taylor Greene. He was like, they're people that just want to put on the jersey just to scream at the other side. They're not, they don't have anything to present. They don't have policy and they don't have anything that of substance. And I had to laugh
that
he called out Marjorie Taylor Greene in that one.
That's a perfect way to
and that's the thing is, I don't think he's wrong, and I think that also applies to the far left, is you've got people who just want to put on the jersey just to scream at the right, and
agreed,
they have nothing to offer.
Yeah, you're not trying to find the solution, you're trying to find your solution.
Not even that, you're just screaming about their problem.
That's funny. I see it that way, like a fan in the stands as opposed to a player on the field, right?
Right. Or, you know, a player on the field, a coach on the sidelines, somebody who really actually just, you know, they're that fucking drunken asshole that gets belligerent and then, you know, gets all butthurt when everybody else finally puts them in their place.
Yes. I love that.
So
thanks for being here, Jeffrey.
Of course.
Wow. Anything you want to wrap up on?
No, I've got some pooping and scooping to do. Oof. And I gotta go fix a washing machine.
All right. Well, I got ants in my pants, so I'm gonna go poop and scoop too.
There you go.
I love you. Thank you for being here, and I will talk to you next week.
See you next week.
Bye, buddy.
Bye.
To those who would tear the world down, we will defeat you.
This is our moment.
This is our time. To those who seek peace and security, we support you.
Yes, we can.
And to all those who have wondered if America's beacon still burns as bright, tonight we prove once more that the true strength of our nation comes not from the might of our arms or the scale of our wealth, but from the enduring power of our ideals, democracy, liberty, opportunity, and unyielding hope.
Let me tell you something you already know. The world ain't all sunshine and rainbow. It's a very mean and nasty place, and I don't care how tough you are, it will beat you to your knees and keep you there permanently if you let it. You, me, or nobody is going to hit as hard as life.
Ask not.
Yes, we can.
What your country can do for you.
I have a dream.
Ask what you can do for your country.
I, poor little children.
Yes, we can.
One day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character.
I don't have to tell you things are bad. Everybody knows things are bad. Everybody knows things are bad. It's a depression.
In this lifetime, you don't have to prove nothing to nobody except yourself.
But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward.
That's how winning is done.
Welcome
to Public Access America.
Yes, we can.
Sunday live streams on YouTube.
I wanted to run out of that tunnel for my dad.
On Twitter.
Twitter.
Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Smart Radio,
Public,
and Spotify.
Yes, we can.
Public Access America. History in the making. Making history in the making.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.